So the Earth is spinning on an axis, right? And then it's going around the sun. So if you just think about it going around the sun, it's literally spiraling like this, going around the sun. And then the solar system is spiraling around the galaxy, around, you know, the Milky Way. And then the Milky Way is spiraling and moving out in space. So there's literally this natural spiral that's always happening in the entire universe, including the Earth and including yourself. Everything is fractal. Everything is always connected to, the patterns are connected. So today's video is a breakdown of the principles for holistic success that I've developed over the last, say 30 years. And it's really for Earth lovers, for people who are nature lovers, social activists, people who really want to see the Earth a whole and thriving system. So the whole world, from all countries, all people, yourself included. So how do you be part of that holistic success on the outside and then also on the inside, so that your life feels more whole? And then you also have the things that you want. So you have the happiness, you have the health, and you have the wealth. But you're not degrading the planet at the same time. And you're not degrading others. So you're uplifting yourself and uplifting others. So that's the path that I've been on for the last 30 or so years. And this is the principles that I think will help you get where you want to be in your life while making the planet a better place. So let's get right into it. The first principle is the principle of cyclical living. Now, this is really great in terms of being environmentally conscious and an earth lover, because nature is a cyclical entity. You know, life and death, the birth of spring and then the death of the plants in the fall in terms of the annuals or the leaves. So what's really important to notice is that your life is going to be cyclical. And a lot of times we're in this sort of linear, patriarchal sense of living, in which we think that we have to produce the same amount of output on every day. You know, and life just doesn't work that way. And there's the cycles of your life, you know, the seasons of your life where you're young and you have more vitality and more testosterone and estrogen and lots more hormones and lots more chaos in terms of like where you're going emotionally. And then it sort of evolves into, you know, where I'm at 54, starting to sort of level off and smooth out. And you don't want to fight those patterns. You want to allow those things to happen. So this is just the way I've characterized this here is a sort of an emotional cyclical pattern. So the next screen is going to be solar and lunar and those kind of cycles. But in an emotional cyclical pattern, like you're going to be tired sometimes, obviously. You're going to be energized other times. You're going to fail sometimes. You're going to have successes. You're going to be sad. You're going to be happy. You're going to be confused. You're going to have clarity. And really what you want to see is a pattern in which these cycles. So, you know, one day you're like, yeah, man, I saved all that money. And then my bank account's doing really good and you're feeling really good about yourself. And then, you know, the next time it's like, oh man, the car broke down and we had to spend all that money that we saved. So all you're really going for, here's this principle in a nutshell. All you're really going for is an upward spiral. So you cycle around and it spirals, but you just want you want that cycling to be going upward. You want to be learning lessons and evolving in an upward way. So you honor that cyclical pattern. You want to think of it like a spiral going up as your life's getting better all the time. So that's the first thing. So how does that help? How that helps you is you give yourself more grace, more freedom, more peace. So you're not stuck in this expectation of what's unrealistic for yourself. You accept the ebbs and the flows. You know, there's a great old proverb of a guy gets a horse and the whole rest of the village is like, oh, you got a horse. He's like, maybe it'll be good. I don't know. And then, I don't know, the horse, like his eldest son is on the horse and then it knocks him off and it breaks his leg. And, oh, maybe it'll be okay. And, oh no, you lost your son's son can't help you in old age. And then he's like, oh, well, we'll see. It'll be good. It'll be bad.
And then the army comes and takes all the firstborn sons, or all the sons that have able-bodied, and his son is able to stay, because it's like, you get the point. The point is that we tend to judge ourselves either on our successes or our failures, and in a personal, in this cyclical living model, like the whole earth is cyclical, you're part of the earth, you're a collective of cells that literally, you know, over billions of years have sort of collectively come together into this entity that you call you. There's a wonderful interview with Lex Fridman of, I'm sorry, I can't remember his name, but he's a scientist that's working with life forms. And they took a cell and isolated it, and it grew into a new entity. Totally crazy stuff. You got to check it out. I'll put it in the show notes, what it is. But the point is that you are a collective of cells. Your microbiome is a collective. You're a collective within your community of life. Like, we can't live without the oxygen that the plants produce, and just this whole collective that we are. And so the point, what is the point? What's the point, Mike? Why did you bring up the collective, and how is it related to cyclical living? The earth is cyclical. All life forms on earth are cyclical. Everything has a cycle. You have a cycle. I have a cycle. And the more we kind of get into this linear, like, it's a digital, it's a mindset, it's a produce, you got to honor that cyclical nature. And that is a more feminine idea. And the sort of, in the old archetypal way of talking about feminine and masculine energies, you know, there is this, you know, the patriarchy is more linear. And then the matriarchy is more cyclical. It's just, it's a natural thing. You have the cycles of birth and the cycles of the moon. It's more pronounced in the female body than it is in the male body. So since we've been on this sort of patriarchal path, what we need to do now is take both of those, the linear patriarchal and the matriarchal cyclical, and then bring them into harmony with one another. Make them, have them married to each other in a holistic way, and that's how we thrive individually and have the earth thrive and the rest of our communities thrive at the same time. I just thought I wanted to fill in a little bit more of that idea that I was talking about, the spiral. The spiral is really important when you're to think about the negative and positive emotions. So the literal nature of Earth and the solar system and the galaxy and the universe is, so the Earth is spinning on an axis, right? And then it's going around the sun. So if you just think about it going around the sun, it's literally spiraling like this, going around the sun. And then the solar system is spiraling around the galaxy, around, you know, the Milky Way. And then the Milky Way is spiraling and moving out in space. So there's literally this natural spiral that's always happening in the entire universe, including the Earth and including yourself. Everything is fractal. Everything is always connected to, the patterns are connected. So when you have a success and you have a failure, you're on two parts of that spiral. If you think of a spiral kind of on an arc like this. So this spiral goes up and the spiral goes down. But as long as that whole spiral is moving in that upward direction on that tilted axis, then you're headed in the right direction. And for me, it really helps me to have a little bit more freedom around failures. It's really about transforming your relationship with failure. And that's kind of the whole point. The whole point is that negative experiences and positive experiences aren't really what you focus on. You just focus on the whole journey of it. It's very well articulated in the Bhagavad Gita, in which Krishna tells Arjuna that he needs to be detached from his results, but he has to go out in the world and do what he needs to do. It's also very much a Buddhist teaching, and you could say it's also a Christian teaching. It's releasing attachment and greed to things and putting all your energy into the effort. And so by attaching yourself to the effort rather than to the results,
then you can experience this sort of up and down nature of life as a spiral going in a direction. I'm sure many of you have heard the example of Benjamin Franklin. No, it wasn't Benjamin Franklin, sorry. Edison, who said, you know, I've never failed at making a light bulb after 1,000 times of not making a light bulb. He just learned 1,000 ways not to do it. So you're always, as long as you're in your perspective, in your mind, you're thinking about how you're creating a belief narrative in which all of your failures are just part of this arcway and the spiral in the right direction. So hope that helps clarify the upward spiral and how it can help you.
That's enough about this cyclical teaching. Let's move on to the solar one. So the other part of that is that there's the natural, let me skip through here, the natural cycles of the earth. And those cycles are always affecting you. What I've done for me, what's really helped me in my life, so, and I hope this will help you too, is, you know, society and your role in society is going to demand you to live a particular way. But if you can take control of that and honor the cycles of the seasons a little bit more, then I think you'll find, like I found, that I'm more in harmony with myself and my own biorhythms, and I'm more in harmony with the rest of the world and the natural environment. It's kind of like as technology advances, we continue to sort of separate ourselves from nature because we can, with all of our houses and technologies and devices and clothing, and all the things that we've invented. But what we do need to do now is go back into that connection to nature. I think that's one of the reasons that we're biologically designed to have health benefits from a cold plunge. You know, as you age, you start to narrow your comfort zone, right? That comfort zone goes zero, lower, 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 lower. And if you just let it happen, you're sitting in a chair, whoop, you're out, right? Or you have a very low quality of life as you age. So you literally need to press out your comfort zone. You know, and exposure to the natural rhythms and cycles of nature, the heat and the cool, are important parts of that. Now, you can't get too extreme or you're going to die, or you're going to get sick or exposed, but you still have to press those edges out. For me, it's really helped me that in the winter time, what I do is I honor that higher, there's more dark. And so there's more sleep and it's more of an inner time, and there's less social interaction. So rather than fighting that and trying to create something that's not really in alignment with that, I try to honor that and use that. So that's a time for writing. It's a time for, you know, sitting around the fire. It's a time for introspection. It's a time for planning and preparation. All of those things would happen in the winter time. What I've done is I've organized my life more around the seasons. So, you know, obviously when I'm in my garden, I'm planning and planting and prepping soil, and I'm planting seeds in the spring, and I'm tending to those seeds, and then we're starting to harvest, and we're making sure that we water things, and then in the fall we're going into processing, and then in the winter time we're storing and repairing, and so on the homesteading type lifestyle, those are all sort of inherent. So that's one of the reasons that I chose to go back to a homesteading style lifestyle, is to be more in touch with the seasonal flows of work and the seasonal flow of life. And in the midwinter, there's a lot less outdoor activity just naturally. You know, and then on an inner level, I spend more time planning, reflecting, resting, studying. I always notice that in this time of the year, this springtime, I get more ideas, I'm more inspired by stuff. But then I also need to find, so let's say I'm going to write a book or make a class like this one, then I also need to make sure that I tend. So just like I would tend the plants, I need to tend the creations that I've come up with, you know, and I need to move them through to completion to where they'll be harvested in the fall. So doing a more cyclical pattern of the way that I approach a project has really, a project or just my whole life in general, has really made it easier. And it feels like it's just, there's less resistance. And there's also, I'm not fighting natural tendencies around me. I'm not fighting the whole environment to try to make myself be something that's not aligned with the seasons. I'm not trying to go out midwinter and then make a real, like, extroverted pronouncement of something. I'm doing that more towards the fall, the spring and summer, and then the fall. One more thing. So then the other thing, you know, my wife can tell you more about this, but there is lunar cycle. So every lunar cycle is going to have an effect on you. You know, the pull of the waters, it pulls everything, you know. It pulls the waters in the plants, it pulls the waters in the body. I mean, I don't know if you've heard that statistic that in some hospitals and care centers where people are, you know, they can't move around that much, that during full moons, statistically, they fall out of bed a lot more. But there is a physiological change in the pull of the gravitational pull on the fluids in your body. So it's subtle, but it definitely has an impact. And it definitely has an impact. There's also the women's cycle with all of their hormones. That's a whole other universe that I don't really know anything about. My wife will tell you all about that. But living according to that, if you are a woman and you are having those cycles, those are going to have a huge impact on your energy level, your focus, your mood, and just allowing that to be part of your cycle. My wife has reported to me that has really freed her up from having this sort of linear expectation of how she's supposed to produce and operate and feel. And then the same thing on your energy cycle. I think that's the next principle. You have a different cadence of energy throughout the cycle of the day. So every day you're going to have a different cadence of energy. And let's move on to the next cycle, next principle. Next principle is this. We'll skip this one for now and go down to the personal energy principle. So as you're going through the day, each one of us has a different flow of energy day. And I like to take it even one step farther. Okay, so just hear me out. You are different people at different energy states of the day. You are not the same person when you are tired as hell. You're not the same person as when you're fully energized. Those two people are almost diametrically opposed to one another. They think differently, they act differently, they walk differently, they're less funny or more funny, they're more negative, they're more positive. You're different people. So there's this idea that somehow we're supposed to always be the same, but we're really not. And it's, that's, I don't know that I made it a specific principle, but let's call it a sub principle of this principle. If you relate to yourselves as many yourselves, yourself as many different personalities that are integrated, that are trying to integrate into a whole self, you're going to be so much better off. Because if you're trying to always think that you're like one exactly the same self, it's like, this is me, then all those different parts of yourself that feel a little bit different than that are going to make you feel a little crazy at times. So if you're, I like to give them names. So for example, we got Sleepy Carl. I got that from a comedian who's super funny. He talks about how Sleepy Carl just makes bad decisions. Just, I don't want to do anything right now. And then Scattered Sam and Angry Adam, like, oh man. And then what's another one? Lonely Lou. You know, all of these people, all these different parts that they do make different decisions. They believe in different capacities that you have. They're not, they don't operate the same. So what you have to do, there's two ways that people handle this. One way is that you start to crack yourself apart and you start to build up narratives that separate out these parts of yourself and justify them, and they literally start to fragment. and you become a less holistic being. You become more those parts of yourself that you don't like, that you don't want to acknowledge Sleepy Carl, you don't want to acknowledge Scattered Sam or Lonely Lou. You start to fragment them and justify them as not parts of yourself. You'll either blame others or blame yourself. So you either go in an overconfident state about who you are or an underconfident state. I'll bring that principle up later. But in order to really be free and have a holistic and healthy relationship with yourself and others, you want to take all those different energy bodies, all those different energy states, and try to find a center that they can all revolve around. So Carl Jung calls it, you know, the integrating of the self. And it's a lifelong process. You're never there. You're always evolving in that way. So for example, Sleepy Carl has powers. He's slow. He's steady. He's meditative. Make sure that, you know, you're well rested. Angry Adam is strong. He's a risk taker. You know, he wants to get things done. What was the other one? I wrote it down. Sorry. And Lonely Lou, he's like making sure that your emotional needs are met, that you're getting the love that you need. Peaceful Pete, that's a new one. I didn't say that earlier. Peaceful Pete, calm, steady, relaxed, integrated. A lot of people think like you just always want to be in that place. But you don't. You just allow them all to hold their space. And you can give each one, like sometimes what we'll do is we'll put Sleepy Carl in charge when we actually need a little bit more Angry Adam. You know, he doesn't have to be angry, but he's got to have more energy, and they sort of are similar in nature. I think we get stuck in kind of the new age or the psychologically well or the Zen or the meditation world. We think that, you know, anger is a bad thing. My mom was famous for saying that there's no such thing as a bad emotion. She got that from one of her teachers, and I really believe that's true. You know, it really is. The only bad negative emotion is one that we don't actually do what it's telling us to do. So when you're having anxiety about something, it's actually, there's twofold things. It's telling you to, you know, one, take some action that's going to alleviate the anxiety, whatever that anxiety is in your life. And then two, maybe you need to, you know, breathe and do some practices that will chill you out, or go take some, do some exercise or something like that. So emotions are really guideposts. They're trying to show you the direction to have a more holistic, more integrated self, more integrated life. Just the principle, the main principle is to know that you have different energy states and to give yourself space, like how it's going to help you. Give yourself the space to have these different energy motivational states. And don't expect them all to be like high motivation, yeah, energized, whatever that is. That's psychosis when you're always in one place. And then you sort of separate the rest of yourself out, and you start you literally start to crack apart. You don't become a holistic self. So, okay, that's enough. So how can you use all this stuff practically in your life? You know, for example, with the different aspects and personalities of yourself, when you're feeling down, it's just a signal that you're on that part of the spiral, that lower arc, and it actually could be a sign that you're headed in the right direction. But the main thing, actually, that's sort of the main thing to focus on. Instead of focusing on your successes and your failures, and your good moods and your bad moods, just focus on whether you're going in the right direction. So think about it this way. The spiral is either going up or it's going down. And so you want to be just making sure that the spiral is going up. So how do you do that? How you make sure that the spiral is going up is that it's easiest on the downwards end of the tilted spiral. So on the downward end, in your failures and your sadness and your anger and your depression, whatever it is, that is a signal to pay attention
and to find something to learn. You don't even have to get the lesson right. You just have to pay attention. So when you're in those down points, you want to pay attention. I mean, you want to always be paying attention, but in the down points especially, when you pay attention and then just come up with like, well, you know, for example, yesterday I was trying to film this part, and this is a super simple example, and I didn't do a sound check. And so I did, you know, what I thought was a wonderful 10-minute talk, and there was no sound. And so that's real simple. So the lesson is to do a sound check, right? So I do a sound check. So I did a sound check today, and here I am. I'm back on camera. But then the next part of that, which this is what most people miss. They're like, you know, I'll learn my lessons and then wonder why. Why do I keep repeating the same mistake? You know, a lesson learned is only valuable if it's committed to action. So the other thing that's really important to focus on is taking committed action. And how you do that is you try to find little tiny things that you can do today. And you can make a big plan. You can do a big planning thing if that's the type of person you are. I'm not a huge planner. I'm a medium planner. So taking little actions today that are in alignment with the lesson that you've learned are critical to keeping that spiral going upward. So in that simple example, I didn't do a sound check. I committed to doing a sound check today. Now, I may forget again and make the same mistake again, but if I do that enough times in a row and do the committed action next time and stay in action with that committed action, then the spiral is going to keep going upwards. It's only when we don't actually stop and reflect on our lessons that the spiral can go downward. I'm not saying that this is going to solve all your problems, but for those of you that are at a healthy level of brain function and body function, that are just in the everyday struggles that we all struggle with, this really can help you give you grace and peace and keep you moving in that right direction. So if you've gotten value out of this, please share it with someone else who you think might get value out of it. Leave comments in questions. Leave questions in the comment section. This is part one of this series, so I'll do my best to integrate the questions into part two of the series. And that the more comments and questions that you guys leave, the better material I can make. Because this is a conversation. It's a dialogue. It's not just me talking. It seems like it's just me talking, but it's really just me talking and you listening. And the more we're interacting with one another, the better the conversation gets. That really is a principle, which I'll talk about in a future episode, that the best, most dynamic solutions in your life, they happen in dialogue. They happen in a balanced, energetic communication. If you want to go deeper with me and the offerings that I have in terms of speaking and coaching and products of the life calendar that's going to be coming out in the future, please check the description and we will have that updated regularly. Even if it's 10 years in the future, as long as I'm still kicking, that'll be updated with what we're offering today. I'd like to leave you with a quote. This is one of the quotes that helps me stay positive in the world of chaos that we're in, and believe in myself that I make a difference. Never doubt. It's Margaret Mead. Many of you have probably heard it before, but it's worth repeating. Never doubt that a small group of thoughtful, committed citizens can change the world. Indeed, it's the only thing that ever has. So keep keeping on, get out there, keep making the world a better place and making your life a better place in the process, and we will see you in the next video.